Okay, we're gonna do a section that we actually have never done before. It's a surprise. The reason we've never done it before, because I've always avoided it. It's on its face, a dry piece of chumash. But when we look a little bit deeper, we'll see that there's a lot more depth to it.
I like when you do that.
Okay. We're gonna do the parsha of Korbanot Tamid. Korban Tamid. What?
You're so Korbanot.
Exactly.
It's always like every year when the principal would call me into his office, I would have like this panic attack. He's going to tell me I have to teach by Yikra.
Really?
12 years of teaching.
So for those men who are in the shir, which is nobody, okay, this section is very, very familiar because this is the section that we lay on Rosh Chodesh.
Okay.
Because it has later on in Rosh Chodesh. So, like, I learned a lot, so I know this, like, literally by heart. But even men who just hear it, you just hear it month in, month out, you know. So there's some familiarity with these psukim. But in order to introduce these psukim, you have to just go back and understand what the section is beforehand. So we're going to start in Perek Kafchet. The section that we're going to learn today starts in Perek Kafchet. We're going to look a little bit back to understand the story that's from before it in order to introduce it. I'm not going to read it in depth because we've done it before, and also I don't want to do it now. But okay, God has told Moshe Rabbeinu in towards the end of Perek Kaf Zayin that it's time for you to pass on from this world. Okay, then remember the Jewish people are camped at Be'evar Yarden Yerecho. They're camped on the east bank of the Jordan River, and they're ready to enter into the land of Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and they're doing the final preparation, literally the final preparation. So what's the last thing that has to happen before they enter into Israel? Moshe has to die, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is, okay? So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, right after that, God says, you're going to see the land, and then v'ne'esafta el amecha, you will die just like Aharon died. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Perek kaf zayin pasuk tet vav. Vayedaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. Moshe said to God, Yifkod Hashem Elohe aruchot l'chol basar ish al ha'ida. Well, before I die, maybe you should appoint a successor. Okay, Asher Yotzeliv Nehem. And we've discussed this in previous years. The nature of the leader that Moshe Rabbeinu asks God to appoint in his stead. And of course, who does God pick?
Yeshua.
Okay, and then there's the process of smicha, which is the process that we're familiar with. But literally, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to take his hand, place it on Yeshua, and some of the hod, some of the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu would then spread on Yeshua, and then the Jewish people would then accept Yeshua as their leader, which is exactly what happened. Just as a reminder, the Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it to be his children. And God says, no, it can't be his children. It has to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? It has to be Yeshua. Because Yeshua was lo yamish mitoch ha'ohel. He served Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was the person, the one who was studious and devoted and put in the time in order to be the next proper leader. Okay, right after that, so let's look at the last pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Gimel in Chaf Zayin. Vayismoch et yadav alav vayitzabehu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he samach, leaned his hands on Yehoshua, right? The smoke means to lean. Okay, he put his hands on him and he commanded him and he charged him. He gave him a charge. Kasher yiber Hashem biyad Moshe. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, just like God had commanded him. Next thing, immediately after this, vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God said to Moshe, saying, Tzav et b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta alehem. Command the Jewish people and say to them, Et korbani lachmi li'ishai, reach nichochi, tishmeru, Lakriv li b'moado. This is a very jam-packed pasuk. So let's pull it apart. Okay, first of all, you immediately notice something unusual about the beginning of the pasuk, the language of the pasuk. Rina?
There are two verbs.
Right. Tzav et b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta alehem. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Command them and say to them. And normally, by the way, what would God say? He would say, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe le'mor. Tzav et b'nei Yisrael. Emor al b'nei Yisrael. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. But here we have tzav ve'amarta.
No, you have vayedaber, tzav ve'amarta.
No, vayedaber Hashem el Moshe.
It's Hashem's doing it, but you have three different forms of the same idea.
Okay, but what's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do?
Tzav ve'amarta.
Tzav ve'amarta alehem.
Amarta. Okay.
Tzav ve'amarta aleihem. Thank you. Okay. You should command them and you should tell them. So obviously we have to ask ourselves, what is the nature of this language? Why is it both? In addition, tzav is very unusual. Tzav is something that we find very rarely. Command the Jewish people. Tzav et Aaron. We're going to see exactly which ones they are. Ve'amarta aleihem. You should say to them, et korbani. Translate. My korban. Lachmi.
My bread.
Li'ishai.
To my fires.
Right, to my fires. Reach nichochi. Reach nichochi.
My pleasurable smell aroma.
Right, the reach nichoach. Tishmeru, you should guard. Lakriv li b'mo'ado. To offer it to me b'mo'ado. In its proper time. What did we just say? There's a lot of words.
Tishmeru,
what did we just say?
Is another one, no?
Tishmeru, you should guard. You must guard. What did we just say? What did God command Moshe to tell us to do?
Korban.
What?
A korban at its time.
Bring a korban at its time. Excellent. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of words to say that. Okay. So what are the meaning of all these different words? Korbani, I get. What did Judith say? Tzavet b'nei Yisrael et korbani. Et korbani tishmeru lakriv li b'moado, or takrivu oto b'moado. What in the world is lachmi le'ishai reach nichochi? Okay, so we're introducing. What are we talking about? So let's understand what we're saying. Ve'amarta aleihem. What's interesting here? Ve'amarta aleihem. You should say. Ve'amarta aleihem. We just said ve'amarta aleihem. To tell them the first Amira. And now again, see how the double language, Ba'amarsi, Ba'amarta Aleihem in Pasuk Bet. And now again, Ba'amarta Aleihem.
Okay.
Zeh ha'ishe asher t'akivu la'ashem. This is the ishe. Anybody know?
Maybe, that's Ishai from before, and not my fires.
This is a fire offering.
Okay.
What do you say?
Fire
offering. Ishai. Ishe. Okay, this is the, look at, see Unklus? Dain korbana. Isha is the korban. Yeah. This is the offering. Okay, he says Isha is also korban. Asher takiv l'Hashem. Kevasim b'nei shana tzimimim. You should offer keves. Keves is a sheep that are a year old.
Perfect.
A maximum year old. Tzimimim, pure. Shnaim layom. Two a day. Ola tamid. An ola offering, it's a burnt offering, tamid.
Forever.
Okay, what do we call this korban?
Korban tamid.
Tamid.
Always korban.
Right.
The forever korban.
The forever korban.
Like the forever okay. Sam.
When is it offered? What will be done?
Always.
Et hakeves echad ta'aseh baboker. One you should offer in the morning. Ve'et hakeves hasheni ta'aseh bein ha'arbayim. You should offer the second keves bein ha'arbayim in the afternoon. This is the korban tamid. This is it's the fundamental, the basic korban that's offered in the Beit HaMikdash. Without the korban tamid, no other korban is offered in the Beit HaMikdash. The korban tamid of the morning is the first korban that's offered. They offered it as soon as the morning light came. The korban tamid shabein harbayim was not done as late as possible. It was done later in the afternoon after all the other korbanot were brought. These are the first and last korbanot, korban olah.
And these are the times, this is connected to Zmanei Tfilah.
So. Everything, right. So much of Jewish life is based upon this. Mm-hmm. Okay, as we're going to see. Why? Because as we know, the Gemara in Brachot says that the Tfilot are keneged. There's a machloket. There's a machloket. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Chet, Zion, something like that. Okay, one opinion says Tfilot keneged avot tiknum. Right, when Chazal designated them, it was corresponding to the Avot. Abraham did Shacharit, Yitzchak did Mincha, Yaakov did Arvit. Okay, the other opinion is Tfilot Keneged Korbanot Tiknu. Right, the Tfilot were instituted corresponding to the Korbanot. Shacharit was Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Mincha is Korban Tamid Shel Ben Harbaim. Arvit?
Rishut.
Right, people aren't aware of this. Right? According to the Gemara, the way we paskin, tefillat arvit, you don't have to say. I mean, it's optional. Why?
But not
because
really.
What?
It's not,
In the end, we say it's optional. The halacha is it's optional, but you have to do it.
So if you have to choose between...
B'nai Yisrael, kiblu al atzmam.
So you have to choose between davening with a minyan, mincha or marv, you should choose mincha.
I don't understand.
Let's say you cannot go for both.
Those are those false choices, like, should I dress tzniut or daven shachri in the morning? Yes. Go to mincha, and then if you can't make marv, you can't make marv, and if you can, you can. I don't understand.
No, let's say you have to do something, and you have to either do it during mincha, you know, when they're davening.
Go to mincha, and then when you do, you have to get marv, then go to the late minyan. You know what I'm saying? Like... I will just say it's very interesting. If you notice, what's different about Arvit than Mincha? They're fundamentally different. Vitzibur.
You don't.
There's no Chazarat Hashatz. Why?
In which one?
Marv.
Why? Very interesting.
It's not necessary.
Oh, it's connected to this idea of Arvit is Chova or Rashut. Mm. Right? There's no Tzibur element. Like if you'd ask me, I didn't want to answer your question, but truthfully. The idea of Kedusha, the Rav Mishnah of Kedusha, Chazal did not institute that Tzibur element of Tefillah. Like when we go to Davar Marav, so we have Kaddish and whatever, and we daven together, but there is no unified element of Tefillah but Tzibur. There's no Kedusha, there's no Chazarat Hashatz, there's no one person leading everyone. Right? It's we get together to Davar Marav. So the answer to your question is, I don't want to answer it, but you understand. You know what I'm saying? It's a false question. Nonetheless, so these Korbanot, this... they shape the way Jewish life is built. Right? They are, you know.
They're anchors.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You got up this morning, you daven shacharit. Why? Because God wanted a korban tamid, shaboker. And God willing, you'll all daven mincha. Why? Because there's a korban tamid ben harbayim. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Minimum? Minimum?
A little more than minimum.
That's a little more than minimum?
We'll
discuss it another time. Okay. If you hold that.
Yes, you're right. Ideally, yes.
Why is it ideal? Why shouldn't it be minimal?
We'll look at it later. You want me to take it out now?
If you want to, you're welcome to. If you don't want to. Okay. Anyway, each person on his own.
You're
okay.
On a level that, is, you know, you don't choose, you do it all. But not everyone's on that level. If they're starting out and you have to choose one or two or whatever.
I know, I'm being like, you know. Obviously, we all make choices in life, but if you when a person says what's more important, you know what I'm saying? I'm not comfortable with that kind of language. Everybody has to decide what they can do when they do it. That's what I really mean. Okay? But these are basic. So the korbanot. These korbanot tamid are very very important. Okay. So let's go back to the chumash. Et hakeves echad ta'aseh ba'boker ve'et hakeves hashani ta'aseh ben ha'arba'im. Okay. What's unusual about this pasuk? There's something wrong with the language. Right. See, et hakeves echad. Right. Then it should say et hakeves ha-shnayim. It should say hakeves ha-rishon ta'aseh ba'boker et hakeves ha-sheni. It doesn't.
It's like Kriyat Ha'olam, Yom Echad.
Okay.
And Yom Sheni, Yom
interesting. Rishon. I never thought of that. Va'asiri ta'ifa. So now, with every korban comes the accoutrements. Okay. Every korban had
side dishes.
Right. It did. Every korban had what's called. We're going to see solet, right? It had the grain offering with it, and it also had the sachim, wine offering. Et hakeves echad, ba'asiri ta'ifa solet limincha, it had a korban mincha with it, it had a grain offering with it. Bilula b'shemen katit rivi'itahin, and the korban mincha wasn't just grain, they would mix it with oils, okay? Right? And they would mix it with oils and offer it on the mizbeach. Olat tamid, Asuya Bahar Sinai. This is a tamid offering that's done in Har Sinai, that was offered in Har Sinai.
That's strange.
It was offered at Har Sinai.
But that's a strange
objection.
Hold on,
we'll see. L'reach Nichoach.
For a pleasant aroma.
Ishe Lashem. Right? Ishe, an offering to God. Vidizko, and its wine libation. Rivi'itahin, a quarter hin. I don't know how much these were. I happen to think, I mean, it says, like, Asiri Taifa, a tenth of an Eifa, was 43.2 beitzim. So, 43
that's
eggs worth. Right? It wasn't this much. It was this much. You know what I'm saying? And the wine was a couple bottles of wine.
It?
Oh.
What
They burned it.
They burned the grain.
On the Mizbeach. No, they would take the grain, fine flour, mix it with oil, right, and take and scoop out some of it and offer it on the Mizbeach.
And the rest of it?
It depends what it was offered for. If it was a personal korban mincha, or it was an olah, the reach lichoach.
So all of
olah tamid.
So all
burned.
Of it gets burned?
Yes. Big fire. Big fire on the altar.
Frying dough.
Burnt dough. Yeah.
Okay.
Vinisko rivi'ita hin, and it's nesek, its wine libation was a quarter hin, la kevesa achad, for each, you know, sheep. Bakodesh, hasech nesek shechar la'ashem. In the Migdash, hasech nesek shechar la'ashem. You will pour nesek shechar. Shechar means it is intoxicating wine to God. What do they do with this? What do they do with the wine? Anybody know?
They pour it on the mizbeach.
They poured it. Not on the floor. There's a machloket, but it seems clear if you look at the pictures of the Mishkan, of the Beit HaMikdash, on the corner of the. There's a Mishnayot in there, a Mishnah Tamid. There's a three-volume set of Kahati. I could get it if you want. Would you mind getting it? There's a three-volume Kahati set. One of them is Tamid. There's a whole Masechet called Masechet Tamid that explains how they did the Korban Tamid. There's all these crazy procedures that they did because every Kohen wanted to be a part of the bringing of the Korban Tamid. As we'll soon see, interesting, okay? So they would take this wine, and they would pour the wine. There were these two kind of bowls, like two holes, in the corner of the Mizbeach, and they would pour the wine, basically, down the drain, down the holes. And that was part of the Avodah. Okay? There's like big machloktim, was there like, did they dig a well? Most opinions said that this, somehow there was some crevice, some natural crevice, and the wine would go down, like, to the Tahom. Forever. Okay? Ve'et ha-keves ha-mepasukhet. Ve'et ha-keves ha-sheini ta'aseh bein ha-arbaim. And you offer the second ram. It's a ram or sheep. Okay? In the afternoon. Ke-minchat ha-broker u-chinisko ta'aseh. You offer the minchat, like the mincha offering, mean the grain offering, and its wine offering you should do. Ishei reach nichoach la'ashem. Ishei, it's a korban, reach nichoach la'ashem. Like sweet smelling service incense to God. Okay. These korbanot are critically important. They were considered like the foundation of Jewish avodah. That's considered avodah. So the first thing we want to ask ourselves is that, like, the language itself is questionable. Let's turn back to the beginning of the pasuk bet. Zaben Esav atalehem et korbani lachmi leishai reach nichochi. So each thing is a question. What are all these things? I mean, if you can't find it, I'll get it later.
They're all in the possess.
My korban. My lechem. Reach nichochi. We have, or I have, in today's day and age, difficulty appreciating the significance of korbanot. Nodding vigorously.
I glaze over and it all sounds the same and it's like so hard to...
So we and I were just talking about this yesterday. As I mentioned to you last week, I'm struggling with the issues of the conflict between modernity and modern thought, modern values, and ancient traditional values. And those of you who follow in the Israeli press, okay, this has been the subject of great debate and much brouhaha. Over the past week, specifically, like I told, did I tell you I went to this conference? I told you last week.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. So at the conference, a bunch of rabbis spoke, and of course, when rabbis speak, somebody is filming, okay? And these videos of their talks were then
or live tweeting.
I live tweeted. I did, right. The videos of these talks were then published on the internet, and once they're on the internet, they're out there. So these rabbis expressed themselves in pretty harsh terms, I would say, okay? But there's a thought police that's very, very prominent in Israeli society today. And if you express yourselves, and well, how can you say such a thing? It's so hateful. And
what did they say?
They said things of varying extremes. But one of the rabbis, who is one of the heads of the Mechina Kedam Tzvait and Eli, and in order to understand the ramifications, Mechidak Dam Tzva'it in Eli is considered one of the foremost, the mother of the Mechinot Kedam Tzva'iot. The Mechinot Kedam Tzva'it means it's a pre-army preparatory school. Young men go to for a year or two, and then they go to the army. As opposed to, my son is in Hezder. So what's Hezder? Hezder was the sort of, when the state of Israel was created, so religious Zionists had a problem. On the one hand, we wanted to serve in the army. We believed it's a religious obligation. On the other hand, Torah Mai Tehealeah. Right, what's going to happen now? If I, these are the formative years. How, and when are they going to study Torah? So they came up with a compromise. We make a deal. Instead of 3 years in the army will say, okay, if you devote 5 years of your life, if you commit to 5 years, you'll serve a year and a half in the army, and the other 3.5 years, you'll serve in Hezder. And this was like the Sfinat HaDegel of Tzionut HaDati.
I never thought about it like that. It's like, it's a huge, I don't know if I would say win for the religious side when you're talking about religious democracy and the identity of the state.
Remember the Haredim said we're never going to serve ever.
Right.
And here you have people and also don't forget that this is a little bit of important history, but important history. The original Hezder Yeshivot, which were Shalavim, they were Keren B'Yavne, and then later Har Tzion when it was established. Those three yeshivot. First of all, to understand where they were placed. Shalavim was on the border. When it was established, before 67, it was literally, if you think about where it is in the Nof and the Shemari Alon, it's on the border right in front of, what's that yeshuv that's... Mevoh Choron. And what do you have after Mevoh Choron? You have the mountains. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever gone to Park Canada, if you go to Park Canada, it's really worth to go to Park Canada. You can look down and see the whole valley as it opens up. So those yeshiva were established as, you do your yeshiva, and they were intended to be yeshiva and army duty at the same time. Okay, so it was considered like the rabbanim.
Remember, the rabbanim who
started these yeshivot, Rav Goldwich, Rav Schlesinger, and Rav Amital, they grew up in Haredi yeshivot. Okay, they were they took Haredi values and they said, but we believe in Haredut and some combination of Tzionut as well. Right, there was no such thing as Tzionut HaDatit. They built Tzionut HaDatit. The whole, every person who lives in this yeshuv went to a Hezer yeshiva, vast majority. They were raised by this thing that these people created, this combination. So came along, the problem is, when you serve a year and a half in the army, it's not really, they're not going to train you for serious things. You're going to do, you'll be a grunt.
What?
You're excluded from any special units.
Yes.
Commanding,
which makes sense because
you can't go back to your ship if you want to be a commander.
Correct. Which it makes sense because you're spending less time. You're making compromises. I mean, this is the world and this is the life that we choose. We don't pick 100%. The Haredim say if you don't do 100% Torah, you can't become a true real Tamid Chacham. It's true. It's absolutely true. If you're half the time thinking about the army and then half the time thinking about the university. You're not immersed in Torah. You're just not. But on the other hand, they have, you get 200 percenters, and then 98 of them, fall by the wayside. But it's another issue entirely. Everybody has to deal with.
He was starting when he was 40.
Okay, if you want to start when you're 40. Yeah, there are. Let's say, for example, Rav Luz, was appointed to the Beit HaGdin HaGadol. I go to his Daf Yomi Shir once a week on Shabbat. It's a treat. He's a tremendous Eloi, and he studied. He served Kravi, he served in a Shiva Hezder, and then afterwards he just learned forever. Hi, welcome. Okay, pull up a chair, come sit down. Okay, where was I? I'm on Hezder Yeshiva. So this Mechina Kedam, I'm really on a tremendous tangent. This Mechina Kedam Tzva'ir in Eli, so these rabbis, they saw that young men said to themselves, I don't want to serve in the army b'di'avad, or for whatever reason, I want to serve the full 3 years. But they said to themselves, you can't go to the army without spiritual preparation. You have to go to Mechida Kedam Tzva'it. And the army was supportive of this, very supportive of it. And over the years, many, many of the religious officers, they have many, many, a high percentage of their graduates serve as officers in the army. Right, Kitsuna, and very high positions in the army, very important.
I just want to add that Rav Eli, who was the head of Eli, my son's been in Eli this whole year, just got the Israel pass for making a Mechino.
Correct. Correct.
So,
right.
So what did he say?
Rav Eli Sadan. So this Mechina was built by Rav Eli Sadan, who just won the Israel Prize, and is highly respected. And his partner, Rav Levenstein. Right. But just understand, these, their students, they're considered among the most motivated, highly motivated soldiers in the army. Why? Because what can you do? A soldier who's motivated by religious passion and understands that his service is dedicated to Klal Yisrael is going to serve in a different way than someone who's conscripted, his democratic rights, or whatever. There's a passion that's there. Rav Levinstein in his talk actually mentioned this. He mentioned that when he talks to like the higher ups and the whatever, some of them say, "We wish we had. How do we get your soldiers' passion without the religious fanaticism?" You know? Yeah. Okay. So he said, "When you figure that out, let me know, and then you don't need me." You know what I'm saying? But so he got up and gave a talk, and his talk wasn't. It was a whole conference dedicated to the danger of reform. So his talk wasn't about reform at all. His talk was more about the hyper-liberal values those in charge of the Agaf HaChinuch are trying to educate soldiers, meaning that he says, the three-year soldiers, if you're conscripted, then they can't force you to do anything, and they don't educate you. But once you volunteer to become a katzin, they feel that you have to have the values of the army. And those values are hyper-liberal values. He was complaining bitterly about this, really, really bitterly about it. And so one of the things he mentioned was, he said that there was a, he just was really an aside, actually, when he said it. But he said that, for example, one of his students was, they're in the Air Force, in the Kurs Tais, right? And then the Air Force, and they had this idea that they're going to go and, as part of their volunteer, as part of their community service, they're going to go paint a moadon for, I don't remember how he said it, but it was a moadon, it was a, you know, like some club for homosexuals, for gays. They're going to go paint the club. And so in his context, he used a word that's verboten in Israeli society. He called them sotim. He called them deviants. And he said it very...
Worse than deviants.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. So team. Right. And that's like, you're not allowed to say that. Okay? So based on this, so he said something like that. What?
No, Netanyahu.
Yeah. I mean, this came to the highest. So Bennett responded to it very nicely.
He was interesting.
Bennett responded, and then 2 days ago, there was this thing called Prime Minister's Questions, which they borrowed from England, which is great. Basically, twice a year, all the Chavei Knesset can ask the Prime Minister a question, and he has to answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very interesting. I listened to the whole thing. Like, and Bibi had a great time. So they asked him about this. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's fun, right? So, because he sounds good. Okay.
He's good. He presents himself well.
He really is, if you listen to it. It's on the internet. It's. But I believe, like, somehow, I don't know why, because I just saw the last Prime Minister's question from Cameron in England. It seems so fun. Anybody who's British, you ever watch it? There's this thing. They have a minhag, like once a week, I think. They do Prime Minister's questions. And anybody can ask the Prime Minister a question. And it's great. You should be able to ask a question. He should have to answer to it. You know, and sometimes he'll say, I don't know. But sometimes, you know, he'll say, I agree with you. So they asked Bibi about this. And of course, Bibi said, I'm in favor of freedom, and she is. But we don't say things like this. It got all the way up. So this guy, Rav Levinstein, is now the symbol, the siman of
religious
he is the symbol of religious Zionist leadership, but of extremism and hatred.
Fanaticism.
And this is what religion stands for. So Bennett, in his speech, did you hear Bennett's talk?
No.
It was very short. Posted on Facebook. So, you know, he said, this is not the religion that I was raised on. This is not a thing that I grew up in. And so he said something.
Because when he was raised, I'm sorry, nobody talked about it at all.
About what?
True.
About gays.
No, but he didn't mean that.
No, but
he meant he meant that, you know,
they didn't talk about
it. And we're supposed to, you know, values, positive values. And there is what to be said, the idea of chachamim hizaru b'divreichem. Okay? But nonetheless, this idea of modern values, meaning the siach, the conversation today, very much determines what you can say and what you can't say, what you're allowed to talk about, what you're not allowed to talk about. So, but the problem is that I don't agree with how Rav Levenstein said this. There's a movement of rabbis that are trying to say, I don't agree with how he said it, but these are the values of the Torah. But then the liberal left says, okay, so in the end you do agree with him, you just don't like how he said it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they're attacking. We are under attack. I'm not kidding. We are under attack for believing in values that the Torah promotes.
But how you say something is very important. That makes all the difference.
Does it?
Of course it does, because it shows if you respect the people that you're talking about or if you don't.
Rav Levenstein's argument is there's a militant side that doesn't respect what he says and is promoting its values in a severely aggressive way, completely negating the traditional point of view. So therefore he feels, literally, militantly, meaning the Chavrei Knesset got up and said, the Sar Bitachon has to ask himself, why are we supporting the Mechina Kedam Tzvai Neili? Yeah, sure, and maybe we should question their taksivim. They shouldn't be supported. We don't support hateful institutions or organizations.
Right, except for all the stuff that they send to Gaza. So they should send aid to Gaza, but not support the pre-military academy who is bringing them their best katsinim in the army.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're stuck. And they're wait. 1 second. And they're stuck in the fact that it's not by coincidence that Rav Levenstein is bringing them their best katsinim in the army. Because their best katsinim are produced by a passionate religious fervor. Right. So 1 second. You want the military fervor, but you don't like the religious ideology that comes with it. Right. This is the conundrum that is Israel. Why are we here? Why do we have a right to be here? Why do the Jewish people have the right to be in this homeland? Why? Because we believe in this. We believe in the values that are transmitted to us. Okay? But if we believe in that, then we also believe in, we must believe strongly that there is such a thing called korbanot. And God asks us and commands us to take animals and to slaughter them in his Beit HaMikdash and to pour their blood on the Mizbeach and to burn them on a fire and to take bread and to burn it on the fire and to pour wine down, because that's what he wants. And I personally, the apologetics of to say that was only because of Avodah Zarah, right, and the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, I find that incredulous. You know, this is huge chunks of the Torah. Tefillah were keneged midim tiknum. They were corresponding to them. They were not in place of them. They were because we couldn't have them. That's why we have these tefillot. Listen how God describes them. Korbani lachmi leishai reach nichochi.
My life's blood.
Reach nichochi. God wants to smell these things. Where do we see the reach nichoach? Where's the first time a korban is described as reach nichoach? Very good. Right, Noach. Right, Noach offered a korban. Where is it? In Bereshit?
In Bereshit, Parsha Noach, I'm guessing.
No, it is in Bereshit, Parsha Noach. Where is it?
I'll find it before you.
Will you? That's the question.
I just read this book, Letters to the
Bereshit Kavchet Yudzayin.
What? It addresses this issue so strongly. The passion and why we're here and really why Eretz Yisrael is able to...
Yeah, but all of that is based upon these values. You know what I'm saying? So if to say that, I find the idea of picking and choosing very hard. So of course I agree that how you say things is of course very important. And I think it's really important. I told you... What? Oh no! So that the whole free speech only works.
Eggs in Jerusalem, and that's not offensive.
Yeah, but they're claiming.
But he stands up, this rabbi, and says one word.
But he says he said a word that was very offensive. So
it shouldn't matter.
You're allowed to say offensive things. You should be allowed to say offensive things. The problem. The problem is last year. This tomorrow will be what's called the Mitzad HaGa'ava in Yerushalayim. Everybody knows this. The Gay Pride Parade in Jerusalem. The problem is that last year, a crazed man killed a young woman named Shira Banki at the Great Gay Pride Parade.
A young woman, a girl, a child.
A girl who happened not to be gay. She was at the Great Gay Pride Parade. She was at the parade, which is a horrible, horrible thing. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to say that it's a terrible thing. So religious passion invites religious fanaticism. The line between passion and fanaticism is very fine. You generally don't find, militant liberalism lead to lead to militant fanaticism.
I don't think you have to do religion. I think he was mentally ill.
What?
He was, but he
it
was
doesn't
driven,
matter.
But he, was
he had a long beard.
Passion.
He had long peyote and was driven by religious passion. You claim he's mentally ill. Where is the line between mentally ill and, let's read the beginning of the parsha. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv et chamati be'al b'nei Yisrael b'kano et kinati b'tocham. What did Pinchas do?
He
took a spear and he killed two people engaged in a sexual act. Because he found them to be deviants.
You're only allowed to do it during the act. There was no act going on.
So you're saying to me that you would be okay if somebody was engaged in public sexual act? Let's say in the middle of the pride parade, you could take out a gun and kill them, God forbid?
I guess if the Torah says so, I guess so. I don't know.
But she, where she's she is conflicted. If the Torah says so, I guess so. In today's society, I would strongly not recommend it. Very strongly.
But according to the Torah, if they're in...
Kanayim Pogibo. Remember we learned it last year, right? You know, Habol Aramit, in public, Kanayim Pogibo. Can't
they
ask.
They have to be warned.
No, you can't ask. Anyway.
We said last week,
but they have to be warned.
If you ask, if you go to the rabbi and say, "What should I do?" He won't tell you. But if you're full of religious passion and fervor, so now what do we do? Parshanim. Now what do we do? Parshanim have to take Pinchas and have to minimize it, have to mitigate it. I wonder if it's still okay. I was in Orot on Monday, and a guy sent to me. He sent to me, Sivan Rahav Meir has a parsha WhatsApp. She is really good. She is really good. So she sends that every day. I don't know how she does it. Okay. So listen to what she writes. Listen to what she writes. I want to write for you. I want to read what she writes. She writes, Ma'aseh hakana'ut shel Pinchas. The act of zealotry of Pinchas. Okay. Shedoker adam achar shechoteh. Eino haderech l'rabim. Right, the idea of Pinchas is not the way of the public,
of the majority.
And she quotes two parshanim. One is Hanan Porat. Okay? Hanan Porat, who is no longer with us, just died. He was a leading force in the religious Zionism. Kanaut, what is Kanaut? Zealotry. Mashma'utat sumet lev timidi. It's constant attention, continuous attention. Ke'ev echpatiyut, like pain and care. Right? Why does the Kanai, why is their zealot so passionate? Because he cares so much. He can't look the other way. He can't say, you know, like, he can't say, have your gay pride parade, whatever, look the other way. No, it hurts him. Hakina'a le'elbona shel Torah lo mevi'ah oti lemaskana shalai likfot et ha'ati al azulat. So Rav Parat writes, my zealotry for the insult to the Torah doesn't bring me to force my way on other people. Eini rotze b'kfiyah The only kfiyah I want, forcing people, is parliamentary, is government kfiyah. Like, I'm in favor of the government telling people what to do a little bit. Minimalit.
Like, no buses on Shabbat.
Right? That I'm in favor of, he says. But, aval ke'ev ve'echpatiyut mechalchelim bi. But the hurt and the desire mechalchel bi. So what did Hanan Parat just do the Kanaut Pinchas? Right. You know, like that's what we do today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
We said, don't do it.
What?
Feel it.
Right. That you should have the kana'ut of Pinchas should be in your care and your desire. It doesn't work that way. Remember what we just said? What did they say about the elite people? I want your religion, I want your fervor and fighting, but I don't want your religious passion. That doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. The two go hand in hand. Where's the line? It's very, very difficult. So, like these, when I talk about the korbanot, I'm like, these korban tamid, God said, korbani, lachmi, reyach nichochi, and he says it three times, the idea of, when he says reyach nichochi, it's the first time, reyach nichochi. Then he says, olat tamid asuya bahar sinai, l'reyach nichoach, yishel ha'ashev. And then he says it again, et ha'keves ha'shani, do it in the afternoon, kemincha ta'gaboker chinisko ta'aseh, yishel reyach nichoach la'ashev. I find it hard to believe that, they're like, this is what we do to Korbanot today. What do? Well, that was then in a pagan society, and it was so full of blood and violence, and we don't really need it. And, you know, do we yearn for the Beit HaMikdash? We yearn for this fantasized, you know, the fantasized idea of messianism in return, but, you know, like, I did it to my students on a road. I was teaching them about Tisha B'Av. So what do we not have when they've been? So they said, oh, the Beit HaMikdash. I said, oh, the Beit HaMikdash, you mean when the Kohen would take an animal and he would slit its throat and then he would catch its blood in a special thing, and then he would take the blood to the Mizbeach and he would sprinkle the blood on the side of the Mizbeach. When the girls are doing that, they go, Harav, die, stop, Harav, no, like that. They didn't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Why not? Why don't
what?
Grosses
them out. It grosses them out. You know? But this is the Avodah.
Were there also boys in the class?
No,
there
this is only girls.
They're
women.
No,
young women.
They had to
no, these young women. It's college. Okay? Yeah. Like, this is the clash. Somehow we have failed to impart that this is a core Torah value, korbanot. What? Ah, so you're okay with that.
Why are we stereotyping women here? Wait. Why are we stereotyping women here and saying that all women are queasy about these things and that women in general don't?
No, but as women would bring, after they give birth, they have to bring a korban, no?
They would bring it to the door. They weren't there. Even the men weren't, by the way, even the men weren't there. The men weren't there either. The men didn't stand by. It was only Kohanim that were allowed to do this. You think it was just girls because they were girls? I don't think so. I don't think that boys are yearning. I don't think boys are also yearning for, you know, the idea of korbano. We don't understand it. We don't relate to it. It's something that's so foreign to us, and it's considered. The problem isn't that we don't understand it. It's considered primitive. It's considered, you know what I'm saying? The idea of animal sacrifice. What? Of course. How do you know? How could there not be? Did you say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, "Shibaneh Beit HaMikdash b'mehirah b'yameinu, v'sham na'avadcha b'yirah kimei olam k'shanim kadmoniyot"? That's the last thing you say right after tefillah. That was keneged tamidim tiknu. Right? V'sham na'avadcha b'yirah kimei olam k'shanim kadmoniyot. Na'avadcha, avoda. What is avoda? Hechot avoda. What is it? Right. Worship of God is not tefillot. Worship of God is korbanot. Right. There's the ideal worship.
That's what I was going to say before. I think that's the core of the machloket and the gemara about what the tefillot were instituted for. Is it something we make kedem, i.e., from the time of the avot, and it's an innate part of us as human beings, mm-hmm. or is it something that is connected to the korbanot?
That's the question isn't. You're asking, is tefillah innate?
Right.
Or is tefillah just in place of?
Right.
Meaning, right. Will we? The question really is, will we daven when we start bringing korbanot again?
And that's, I would imagine, part of the.
Right. That's part of machloket. I'm sure I'm sure we will. We'll continue to have, but even think about how many most people when they come to shul, sadly, most Orthodox people, they don't come to shacharit, they come to musaf. Right. But what do you say when you say that's just the way it is in shuls, in America? I don't know. What's it like where you're from? Right, exactly.
No, but it goes so slowly. You can get there at 9 o'clock and it's lunch after
it. 9 o'clock? What time do they start?
Yeah.
Right, it goes so slowly. Anyway, and I used to tell many men, how should we say this? Many men would come at in the middle of Torah reading, whatever, and they, whatever, okay? And I would say to them, if you're gonna come at 8, 9 o'clock, daven shachar and leave. It's much more important to daven shachar than it is to daven musaf. What's musaf? Musaf is the additional tefillah that we add in order to commemorate the fact that they brought. And what do we say when we say musaf? What's the language? What's the text of the tefillah?
It's all about korbanot.
What?
It's all about korbanot.
Touché. Fair enough. No, because the people who come musaf, they don't say kriyat shema.
Right. No, but they're coming to be connected. They're not coming.
Correct. 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 And if they knew what they were coming to daven for. I had a reform rabbi who said, yeah, we got rid of the musaf a long time ago. I just said an amidah. Why don't we need another amidah? Because he's right. Why do you need it? Because the whole point of the amidah for him is, prayer is nice, but they don't pray to reinstitute the temple, to build the Beit HaMikdash, to offer sacrifices. They don't. What?
Yeah.
Temple.
That was a
same
place.
Oh,
right.
We don't care.
Yeah. Right. Let's go back. We're going to do a little bit more chumash, and then we'll stop in a minute. Okay, we'll stop in 5 minutes. Let's look back at the Rashi. It's important. I have to share with you a couple of midrashim. Okay? Korbani, Rashi has a problem with all these things. Korbani is the hadam. The korban is the blood. Right? The dam, the lifeblood of the animal. Lachmi, Elo Imurim. They were the Imurim, the limbs. Li'ishai, Hanetinim li'ishai li'ishay mizbechi, that are offered on the fires of my offering. That are offered, that are given. Tishmiru, it says Tishmiru. What's Tishmiru? You should have a mishmar. Shiyu kohanim v'levi'im b'Yisrael umdim al gabav. Mikan lamdu, from this they learned, the rabbis, v'tiknu ma'amadot. When they offered the korban, they would have ma'amadot. They would have a delegation. And the responsibility of the delegation was to recite psukim. And there are whole mishnayot, prakim and mishnayot about this. How they would recite psukim, like important ma'amadot, they would recite every day of the week. They'd have something special that they would say. You know, today's Monday, they would lay in these prakim in the Beit HaMikdash, sort of like the gallery, while they were offering the korbanot. Why? Because the idea of these korbanot was that they represented the entire community. It was even more importantly, where did they get the money for these korbanot? How? So when you went to the Beit HaMikdash, they would do the Gviata Machatzita Shekel. Those went into special lishkot, pushkas basically, boxes. And those monies were collected and saved. And they specifically would buy the Korban Tamid from those lishka, from those pushkas, from those tzedakah boxes, in order to ensure that these korbanot came from the tzibur. Nobody, if some guy says, you know, the Spalter family dedicated, the Korban Tamid today is dedicated in honor of, like, Shlomo Rachab, and, you know, they, I always say, it's going to be the, yeah. You know, the Fried family pavilion at the Beit HaMikdash, you know what I'm saying? The easiest thing to raise money for. Why do you think that's funny? Okay. Of the korbanot? Yeah, they had money for the korbanot because everybody who came aliyah l'regel gave them chatzit shekel, right? It was a tax they had to give. It was a mitzvah to give. There's a whole every year you had to give chatzit shekel, so everybody gives a little bit. You know, that's the way taxes work. Okay, why? So it says, why does it say tzav? Very famous midrash. Ein tzivui, you don't have this inside. Ein tzivui ela chisaron kis. And God commands you. Why? When it costs money, you say, not so important. Chisaron kis. Okay. So that's why it says tzivui. One second. There's so many midrashim. Look, see the words at korbani lachmi leishai. Okay. It says the midrash. It's a midrash tanaim. At motza, you don't have it. I have it inside. You see. The Avinu Yaakov saw Shira'a et Beit HaMikdash Banui. He saw in Nevuah the Beit HaMikdash would be built, and then Charev and destroyed. The Chazar v'Ra'a Oto Banui. He saw that the Beit HaMikdash would be built, destroyed, and then rebuilt. Why? Because it says Vayira Vayomar. When he got to Har Habayit, when he got to the mountain, when he first came to it, like before his dream, he says Mano Raha Makom Hazeh. How awesome is this place? Hare Banui. Ein ze, the next words he says, Ein ze ela Beit Elokim. Ein ze, meaning Ein. It's gone. Hare Charev. Kim Beit Elohim. Rebuilt. So the Midrash says that when he got to this place, he prophesied the destruction and the rebuilding. Good question. V'chenat Motze Moshe. Remember, when were Chazal saying these midrashim?
Right.
Not in Bayit Rishon. They were saying in the time of the Bayit, after Bayit Sheni.
V'chenat
motzam b'moshe shira'a oto banui. Moshe saw it banui. And then chare b'chazar. Shnei amar, as it says, et korbani lachmi hare banui. Right? My korban, my lechem, it's banui. Li'ishai.
The eish of the destruction.
The eish hare charev. Tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. You should be shomer. Guard that you will be offering it in its time. Banui umeshuchla la'atid lava. Tishmeru, I promise you, la'kriv li b'moado. It will be offered in its time. It will be rebuilt. Wait, you don't like that, Midrash? You're looking at me funny.
No, I always have an issue when you say that the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash was prophesized even before
that you're talking
it was
about.
Built.
Okay. There's so much more. There's like a ton more to say about this language. Very fascinating language. Why is it called?
What's your point?
My ultimate point?
No, with this, with bringing these midrashim that talk about Yaakov and Moshe having a nevuah of the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed, and built and destroyed and built again. Why did you bring these midrashim?
What are you going to do on Sunday?
Fast.
Why?
Because of that.
You're about to.
But I'm in the after part.
We're about to fast, begin the 3 weeks. The whole point of the 3 weeks is Korban Abayit, like leading up to Tisha B'Av, and then, like, that's the whole point. How many of us could really say that we really yearn for this idea of Reach Nichoach, of Korbanot? Like, we just, it's so far out of our worldview, it's so removed from us that we don't even give it a second thought. Right? We yearn for some kind of redemption of the world, but aren't willing to, and this, I think, is the question of values. That's sort of why I got into this whole thing. We're not willing to subjugate our values to the values of the Torah and say, I don't understand it, I don't appreciate it, I have no idea what it is, but if God says it's important, it must be important. And the fact that I don't appreciate it and I don't understand it must mean that the fault isn't within me. And not to try to find ways around it and to say that, you know, my vision of the world, and when it comes, you know, the redemption is going to be how I want it to be. That's the struggle. And that's the struggle in society today. This is the fight between, you know, liberal Western society, which mocks this way of thinking, mocks anything that has anything to do with traditional moral values, you know, God-given moral values, and says that anything that we don't agree with and doesn't agree with our sense of humanism and freedom of expression and personal choice and I get to do whatever the heck I want, and anybody tries to limit that is primitive. Whereas we say, if I believe that God gave me the Torah, and I believe that God created the world, and I believe that the world is not mine, you know, and that's what it's interesting. What did Midrashim say? Reach nichochi, right? Korbani lachmi le'ishai. Right? Why are you offering the korbanot? Because your lechem, everything you have is from me. So just give me, I don't ask much. Just give a little bit back. Have some sense that it came from me. Right? That's the fight. Did it come from God or did it not? And that's the fight of the values that we're all talking about. Did Eretz Yisrael come from God or did it not? Because otherwise, if it didn't, what are we doing here? Right? Why are we fighting for this land? That's what Rav Levenstein is saying. Really what he's saying. The reason why my soldiers fight so well is because they believe that it comes from God. And if you believe it comes from God, God set some rules in the world. Now, I agree with you. He shouldn't have said what he said. He shouldn't have said what he said because there's no point. It inflames and it's not heard. It prevents his message from being heard. Okay? But his point is, we have this clash of values is a huge battle, and it's happening in the army now, it's happening in universities now, it's happening in the public sphere now, and I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to apologize for saying that I believe in something that's you know, that traditional, that was passed down to us, that defines who we are. I think that sometimes we choose to ignore, and this is something that I struggle with a lot. We choose to ignore the Reach Nichochi. We choose to, like, I was thinking about it last night. The Midrash Shemoneh says, Hashiva Shofteinu Kevar Rishona V'Yoatzeinu Kevar Techila. I pray for this every day.
But that's not the Korbanot.
Hashiva Shofteinu, the return of the Sanhedrin.
Oh, this is what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. We're talking about this. Like Naftali Bennett said, Sanhedrin never killed anybody. You know, really? That's what he said. He really, like, poo-pooed the whole, like, skila that they used to give mita for people who were Mechalel Shabbat. Of course they did. This is what he says. No, once every 70 years, they try to avoid it. This is the problem of the world in which we live. We tend to paper over values. And Rav Levenstein says, I don't paper over values because that's what makes the greatest Jewish people. That's what makes us strong.
But you're actually killing anyone, like in practice.
What?
Did it happen that people violated Shabbat and they came to
the... It says in the Torah that there was a Mekoshesh Eitzim in the Midbar and they stoned him to death.
See,
that's exactly what you're doing. See what you're doing? There's a whole Masechta called Sanhedrin, and it's in the Rambam, and it's explicit, and it's clear that they did it. It's clear that they did it. So how often did they do it? How do we deal with this? That's the question. Whose values get precedence? When I hear these things, do I say to myself, ooh, one second, I have to rejigger what I hear and what I see and the sources that are passed down to me because of the values that I have? Or do I have to try to question my values?
But that's what we yearn for. We yearn for a time when our thoughts are pure and they're not being tainted by Western values, when all of this does...
I think that's a big debate. I think that's a big debate. It's a huge debate. And I will just temper it by saying... Right. But, and now I'm going to... Now this is the reason why I'll never be the Rabbi Rashi or whatever. Judaism is an... What? That was last week. Judaism, everybody acknowledges that Judaism and halacha evolves over time and has evolved over time. Everybody acknowledges that. The only question is, does it happen fast or slow, and who has the right to evolve? Do you understand?
Will also evolve.
Everybody agrees.
Yes, but it doesn't mean the basic rules are
correct.
Going to change.
Correct.
Basic values.
Correct. There are certain things. See? No, correct.
It's a bigger conversation because, you know,
oh, I couldn't throw that in?
Then why aren't we all Haredim? Like, why don't we live, you know, why?
That's what Rav Levenstein said.
We're choosing to go to university and to live in the world and to be involved with different kinds of people. We're choosing that.
Yeah.
That's a choice for
that's
the kids.
That's not a Western value.
Sure it is.
What does Chafetz Chaim work? That's not a Western
See?
Value.
See? Chafetz Chaim, the classic example that I love to give, at the talk, Rav Yaakov Ariel got up and he gave a much more complicated talk than people think. Because he got up and talked about the idea of bat mitzvah. The bat mitzvah is a totally, totally modern innovation. It doesn't exist in halacha. There was nothing, you'll never see it in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere. He talked about how important it is to do bat mitzvah for girls. Like, that's an innovation. So, yeah, it doesn't violate anything, but it's a total innovation.
And it comes from the Western world.
It does. It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
What about bar? Have you heard of bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah? Oh, for dogs?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard of bar mitzvah.
You haven't heard? It's
all right. So when you fast on Sunday, think about korbani lachmi. Focus on korbanot. Yes, this is a topic for a larger conversation. We'll stop here.